This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, a Saturday afternoon in the nation's capital. We continue right along at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So the Redskins head to Lambeau Field tomorrow. Should be no snow, but there could be, I guess, some rain and cold, 40 degrees-ish, somewhere right around that. Perfect running the football weather. Do you give any shot to the Washington Redskins? They've beaten two backup quarterbacks the last 2 weeks. Jeff Driskel, Kyle Allen. They were shredded on the first two drives last week by Kyle Allen. And all of a sudden woke up. They changed. They got more aggressive. It's one thing to be more aggressive against Kyle Allen. Another to be more aggressive against Aaron Rodgers, right? So, logic would tell us, if you were devising a game plan, hey, it's different out there against Kyle Allen versus Aaron Rodgers, right? But who's with me on this? If I was Greg Minuski, if I was devising the game plan, I think there's one way you win this game. One way. And that's by being over-aggressive. That's by being aggressive from the start. That's by flying around and trying to create havoc and pressure and turnovers and sacks and confusion from the start. And philosophically and identity-wise, what I want them to be is everything that they've been, that they've not been against great quarterbacks so far this year. Again, you look back week one, week two against Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. I don't know if you would call those great quarterbacks, but, you know, they're good quarterbacks. They were scared as you know what to get beat, to have coverage gaffes. And I get it. I understand it. Ultimately, you want to be conservative, right? You want to be safe, not sorry. But safe is not going to win in Green Bay. Safe, conservative, is not going to beat Aaron Rodgers. Not unless he has just an out-of-this-world type bad game. Which, listen, it's possible that he could, right? The Chargers did it just a couple of weeks ago, right? They were terrible. But this is, again, Lambeau Field. This is a little bit different. So I think you need to be ultra aggressive. I think the Redskins need to blitz from the corners, from the safeties. I think they need to twist their inside linebackers. Double A-gap blitzes. Maybe fire Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan from the same side, like a double barrel outside edge pass rusher pressure. I think the Redskins need to be more creative, more aggressive, more intense, more dictator-type defense than they've ever been under Greg Minuski. And I don't care if they go down that way and lose. They're supposed to lose. They're not supposed to stop Aaron Rodgers. And maybe, just maybe, you make some plays that way, but then he still beats you anyway. That's okay. You know what I don't want to see? What I don't want to see is rush 3, drop 8, rush 4, drop 7. and have him pick apart your zone because they don't play zone well. There's always huge windows. There's always big holes. And you can take a big hole 5 yards down the field. What you can't have happen and win is when it's 3rd and 13 and you're playing rush 3, drop 8 and 5 underneath and 2 over the top or 3 over the top or whatever it is. And there's just this massive crater-sized hole for Jimmy Graham or Vontaze Scaling or whatever the hell his name is. That I can't handle. That I can't have. I need the Redskins to aggressively dictate tempo and the game plan and the attack from the start. Last week, it took Greg Minuski a couple of series to wake up and adjust and go, oh my God, Kyle Allen is carving us up like a Thanksgiving turkey. You can't wait for 2 series tomorrow. You have to dictate and control Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers right from the start. By the way, just in case you haven't watched the Packers all that much this year, the Packers are 9-3, and they lead the division. That's great. That's awesome. And Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur get along, and everything seems wonderful. They're leading the division largely because of their defense. And they're leading the division largely because, between Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones and physical back Jamal Williams, they can kind of control what they can do. It's no thanks, necessarily, to Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison. Alan Lazard has come on. But, you know, like, the Packers are not loaded in terms of skill position like they used to be, right? I mean, Davante Adams is going to come back. Okay, I mean, look, obviously he hurts you or he can hurt you. I got it. Get it. So I'm not saying you have nothing to worry about, but this is not the same Green Bay Packer team that we normally see. You don't have to live in fear of Jimmy Graham, I don't think. To me, I don't even know if you have to live in fear of Davante Adams, even though he's good. Right? I mean, he's had a toe issue all year. I mean, he's good, don't get me wrong. But he's not that good. It's not like you have to, oh my God, Davante Adams. Be aggressive. Slam the door shut. Dictate tempo. Get a turnover on the first drive. Hit Aaron Rodgers with a couple of looks that maybe he hasn't seen from you. If you lose, guess what? You were supposed to lose. If you get beat, guess what? You got beat because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. If you win, people will remember. People will say, whoa, that's how you beat Aaron Rodgers. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you handle business. To me, as I look at this game, and maybe I'm making it too simple, that's the one chance the Redskins have. That, on defense, that philosophy, even if you get beat, is the only chance you have. You cannot play conservatively. You cannot just hope to make Aaron Rodgers go down the field on 12 play drive. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work, in my opinion. Again, I could be totally wrong. Maybe I'm talking out of my, you know what? I don't think I am. I think I'm right on this. And maybe, again, I'll be proven to be wrong, But I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I think I'm right on target here. And I'd love to see it. I'd love to see what happens if the Redskins just dictate from the start. If they don't wait to be down 10-0 before they wake up and realize, okay, I got to do something. And when I'm talking about dictating tempo, it's not just blitzing. It's blitzing with some different looks. That's why I said blitz safety, blitz corner, blitz off the slot. Send, again, your two edge guys on the same side lined up next to each other. Provide different looks. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe you get home. Maybe you force a turnover, a bad decision, whatever it might be. Maybe you put it in their head. They can be beaten in Lambeau Field. I understand it's a different team. They lost to the Arizona Cardinals last year at Lambeau. Horrible team. Mike McCarthy got fired the next day. They can be beaten. They're not great. And they certainly, again, don't have the explosive, dominant weapons that they usually have. Do it. Take advantage of it. All right, so that, what do you guys think of that philosophy versus, you know, again, largely being conservative and hoping that Aaron Rodgers doesn't beat you, along with what we were talking about in our first hour, which is what scenario would it take for you to buy in and embrace Bill Callahan as the official head coach moving forward? 800-636-1067. We'll get to Paulie in Norfolk coming up next, right here on The Fan. I'm Chris Russell. It is 10-3 Oklahoma over Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. This game has settled down a little bit. 4:45 left to go. I don't know what to make of Matt Rhule. I haven't watched Baylor enough. Everybody talks about Matt Rhule like he's the next great thing. I mean, listen, to get Baylor back into the top 10 after the whole Art Briles mess, obviously he's doing something really, 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 really good. I just don't have enough of a file on him. I just don't. I mean, could he be a contender for the Redskins' head coaching position? Yeah. Yeah, he could. But I don't see any coach with any leverage, any power, any pop wanting to be here with Bruce Allen in charge. And here's the thing. You say, well, duh. Even if Bruce Allen's gone, Dan Snyder's here. And I get it. Dan Snyder will always be a problem and will limit what you can choose. But I guarantee you that people would look at it differently if it was just Dan Snyder. If Kyle Smith and Eric Schaefer were in charge, they would look at it differently than just Dan Snyder. They would look at it differently if it wasn't Dan and Bruce. And part of the reason why, I think, is because people will say, I can handle Dan if I can win. If I've got intermediaries, if I've got smart people on my side, if I've got a good football man in Kyle Smith and a really, really, really good, sharp, bright, intellectual mind to manage the cap, contracts, football administration, the business operations, overseeing everybody else, making people accountable, all that stuff. And Eric Schaefer, who's worked hard to develop, you know, the football knowledge that he wasn't naturally born with, like a Kyle Smith was. I don't want to say Kyle Smith was just naturally born with it. Obviously, he's worked very, 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 very hard at it. But his dad was a GM. His dad was a self-made man. His dad was like a high school principal or a high school gym coach, for God's sakes. Became one of the best general managers that we had in the early in the decade of the 2000s. And A.J. Smith. Right? I think if Bruce is gone, then some people who are skeptical, and rightfully so, as Albert Breer mentioned on the station yesterday, I think that's people would be like, I can convince Dan. I can figure out Dan. I can't deal with the two-headed monster. I can't deal with Bruce and Dan. That's not something I can deal with, nor do I have any confidence in that it's going to work out long-term. It might work out short-term. Long-term, that's a whole different story. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's get to Paulie in Norfolk on the Fan. Hey, Paulie, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hail to the Redskins.
There you go.
How you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing good.
I don't know what you ate for breakfast this morning, but, man, it definitely had a lot of smart pills in it, man. I'll agree with, like, 99.9% of everything you're saying, man.
Oh, well, that's always good because usually I get the exact opposite.
Hey, man, I love Bill Callahan as a coach, man. People fail to forget that this man didn't have this team at training camp or OTAs.
Right.
You know, he took over this team at 0-5.
Yep.
From Jay Gruden, who had had Club G and his clutches in his team for 6 years. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, add water and then instant winning. You know,
I like that. Yeah. People think he just went around with a little water spout, with a little water spout, like watering the garden.
I think a lot of this has to do with the hatred of Bruce Allen. Also, the same way with Dwayne Haskins, all they say is people are rooting for Dwayne Haskins to fail because he's Dan Snyder's pick. He was Dan Snyder's pick. And I think a lot of people turned off by Bill Callahan because he's perceived as being Bruce Allen's guy.
I would largely agree with you. And to be fair, again, I've said, look, if it's only a joint ticket, you know, like president, vice president type thing that we see, right? I don't know. I just can't deal with Bruce anymore. So I would be willing to sacrifice Callahan. But if I could get Callahan and divorce Bruce, then I think I might be in.
Listen, man, I was done with Bruce after the whole Trent Williams situation.
Right.
That was it for me, man.
Right.
I mean, right or wrong, I mean, the Redskins had a part in what happened with his medical situation. Now, I don't care if it was 30% of fault or 70% fault. They still was at some type of fault. Any classy organization or any stand-up man would have just sat down with Trent, would have apologized to him like, hey, you know, we made mistakes in your situation as well as you made mistakes in your situation. But being that you are one of our franchise players of the past 10 years, you know, how about we sit down, let's try to come to a medium. You know, if we can't come to that medium, then, you know, we'll grant your wishes and try to let you move on, and we'll both be happy. But no, Bruce sat on his high horse and wanted to paint this man as a liar and being greedy, a man with cancer. I'll never get over that, man. But yet it's still, he parades Alex Smith around here like he's some war hero. I mean, to me, the man had cancer.
Here's the difference. I'll tell you exactly how they think there. One, they knew Bruce. They knew Trent was going to pop and talk. And since he talked the first time, they have been hell-bent on revenge. Whereas Alex Smith, the reason why they're...
Because he
loves them and he, you know, because they took care of him, you know.
Yeah. I understand all that, but my whole point of it shouldn't even came to that. Once they found out he had life-threatening cancer,
right.
Compassion should have took over to the point where it's like, we made a mistake, and you made mistakes. So let's find a middle ground. If that middle ground is, let's get you, you know, they say you're going to be back 100% healthy. Let's get you some type of guaranteed money for the next season. Or, you know, if you don't like what we're trying to
Paulie,
give you, then
Paulie,
we'll move on.
Paulie, you're suggesting something that makes common sense. You're suggesting
exactly.
something that that a smart organization would do. This is why they're the Redskins. For 25-plus years, they haven't made good decisions like this.
One more thing before you let me go. That's another thing that irks me about, you know, the media. I'm not blaming the media, but when they say the Redskins, you know, the Redskins made this decision. The Redskins did this. No. It's not the Redskins. It's Bruce Allen.
Yeah.
Bruce Allen made these decisions. Bruce Allen's deciding who's staying and who goes. Bruce Allen decides who get paid and who don't get paid. You know, Bruce Allen decides who gets lied to and who gets tells the truth. So, you know, let's stop saying the Redskins officials. It's Bruce Allen.
I largely agree with you. Here's the problem. He represents the Redskins. He's the top honcho.
The guy that owns them continues to employ him. It just irks me when I hear that because it seems like it's the whole organization. What I know is not the whole organization.
I know exactly what your point is because it's not. And when I criticize the Redskins, really, I'm not criticizing the Redskins. I'm criticizing, like you said, Bruce Allen specifically, because there are good people in that building, and I've mentioned a couple of them, Eric Schaefer, Kyle Smith. Those are good, smart, hardworking, really talented people. They're just kind of kept under wraps, and hopefully they won't leave the organization before they have a chance to come.
And all I want for Christmas is for the last game in Texas Stadium be meaningful
to
for the Cowboys, and we sent them home and have them sitting at home with us.
Here's what I want. It to be meaningful for both teams. That's what I want. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate it.
Who would ever thought a month and a half ago that the Redskins would be playing a meaningful game in December?
You're absolutely right. As Dave Martinez
says, hey, we staying in the fight.
Somehow, some way, they are. Great call, Paulie. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Make sure you call back again. Happy holidays. There you go. That was a good call. I like Paulie. Not only because he agreed with me, but because he made sense. I know I'm too hard on Bruce Allen. Trent Williams is really mad at Bruce Allen. I should go through that column because I haven't been on really a whole lot. I mean, I wrote a column about it. On SI, I'll have that spin for you. But there's another spin that I didn't put in the SI column. I mean, I kind of mentioned it, but I'll get to it next. Let's do that next because I want to wrap that up, and then we're going to get into some Nationals and Capitals over the 2 o'clock hour and into 3:30 right here on The Fan. One thing that Bruce Allen has not done good. But I will also say this. While these players and people feel a certain level of kindliness to Dan Snyder, right? Like Trent goes on and says, you know, it's not Dan I'm mad at. It's Bruce. Bruce, you know, Bruce this, Bruce that. Here's the problem. Yes, Bruce has full autonomy and full power. I don't think he can make every single decision that gets made by the Washington Redskins without checking with Dan. I mean, if we're talking about who to work out on a Tuesday, Bruce doesn't have to consult with Dan. If we're talking about, let's see, how do we file for divorce from the best offensive lineman the franchise has ever had in the middle of his career and make it as ugly as we possibly can make it while theoretically and proverbially kicking a cancer patient to the sidewalk and not trading him to get anything of value? How do we do that? I don't think Bruce can do that on his own. And if he does it the first time on his own, i.e., we're not going to give him a contract. I mean, at some point, Dan is going to be like, hey, dude, like, we're doing this wrong. We've got to get Trent back. We've got to get Trent back. Or, you know what, Bruce? I left you alone. I left you in charge. You kept telling me he was going to come crawling back here, tail between his legs, and you were right. He did. He came here day of the trade deadline. Not because of you, not because of money, but because he wanted the year on his contract to toll off. For whatever his motives were, he was apparently going to play, he told Les Carpenter. If he could find a helmet. That's what I had heard, that he was going to play at some point. Okay? But then Bruce, a week before the deadline, says, done. You did me the way you did me. You aired your dirty laundry. I'm going to do this to you. Retaliation, revenge, whatever you want to call it. And then Trent goes, well, if you're going to do that to me, well, I'm going to, yeah, I don't want to sue you. I don't want to reveal all my medical records, this, that, and the other thing. I'm willing to talk about it in some degree, but I'll just sit out and you'll trade me this offseason. But I'm really mad at Bruce, and I'll throw him under a bus. But I'm not going to say anything bad about Dan. Here's the problem. Twofold. And then we'll take your calls on this. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Number one, there is no guarantee at all in any way, shape, or form that Trent is getting traded this offseason. None. No guarantee. We might be doing this dance again next year. I'm not saying that's likely because I don't control that. But it's possible, and you should be aware of that. It's possible that Trent Williams doesn't get traded. What if the Redskins say, we're still holding on to a first-round pick, no matter what, and there just isn't a team that's willing to do that for a player that hasn't played for a year and a half, a player that we don't know if he's going to be able to find a helmet, we don't know what kind of shape he's in, we don't know where his body's at, where his heart's at. We don't know. Why would we do that? Why would we pay a first-round pick? Again, I don't know what they're going to ask for. I don't know what they're asking for. I know what they've reportedly been offered, and they weren't willing to budge. Then on top of that, the other thing, real quickly, you know, again, Trent keeps saying, Bruce is the problem, not Dan. Bruce is the again, Dan has to green light some of this. I don't know if he green lighted all of it. I don't know if he approved every element of the war and the divorce. But there's no chance that Dan wasn't consulted, didn't approve, didn't stamp, didn't green light the idea to put Trent Williams on NFI, take away an extra $5 million, not have him on the football team, and again, proverbially and essentially, although it's not really this way, kick a recovering patient, cancer patient, to the curb. There's no chance that Dan wasn't consulted with this. No chance. So Trent's got to be careful here. Trent thinks Dan Snyder is his buddy. He's approving this stuff. I've heard Dan is livid at Trent. Livid. Why? Because once again, the organization looks terrible. Terrible. Awful. Now, in a lot of ways, they deserve to look awful. They did not have to do what they did here. But this is what happens when you have Bruce Allen largely pulling the purse strings and largely in control. And that's why you got that comment that he holds money over black players and all that stuff. I didn't love Trent going there, by no means. I didn't like the metaphor of slapping a dog and all that stuff. Trent said some weird things in this. I think Trent should stop talking because Trent is not helping himself. The Redskins, everyone knows Bruce Allen is not a good executive. Everyone knows. Everyone knows he's done some really shady things. I'm trying to watch what I say. But here's what I know. Those guys are so dug in and so hell-bent on ruining you at this point, they might not trade your ass. And the more you call them out and the more bombs you throw, I think the more dug in they become. I could be wrong, but I think the more dug in they become. Let's take a timeout. We'll get to David and Alexandria, Sal and Arlington, and you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on The Fan. All right, let's go right out to the phone call so we don't waste any time. 800-636-1067. I'm Chris Russell-Darris on the other side of the glass. We're with you until 3:30. SEC Championship at that point. We'll keep you up to date. The Big 12 Championship, they're at halftime right now. 10-10 last look. I don't know if that changed in the last minute of the half. You got an update on that, Darris?
13-10.
Oh, 13-10 Baylor. Okay. Good job. Appreciate that. I'm sure my pal Bernie in Rockville would have texted me. Bernie's got eagle ears, man. By the way, I did forget to mention this. My pal Zach Bono from George Mason, who we used to work together at the Redskins. He was like Tony Wiley before Tony Wiley. He's, you know, with George Mason now. If you guys aren't doing anything, right, George Mason's kicking ass, taking names. And if you like college basketball, if you're in the Northern Virginia area tonight, 7 o'clock against American. So another, you know, two locals, Mason 9-1, best start in 36 years. You know, go see. Go support the local teams, right? Caps aren't in town. I don't know about the Wizards. I didn't check their schedule. Sorry.
Wizards off until tomorrow.
Wizards
night.
Off until
Clippers tomorrow night.
Oh, man, Darris, all over. So go and see that. Should be a good game, right? Like good local products doing well. All right, let's get back to you on the phones. David is in Alexandria on The Fan. Hey, David, how are you?
Chris, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good, Dave. What's going on?
Two quick comments. One is on Haskins and everybody commenting about his accuracy, his, you know, percentage completion. Who cares? He throws the ball deep. If you don't remember, Cousins and Smith check down Charlie. Check down Charlie. Haskins does not play check down Charlie. So who gives a darn what his completion percentage is because he throws the ball deep? If you look at highlight shows of our 87 team, and our 91 team, we're hucking the ball deep. So, you know, I'm tired of hearing people criticize Dwayne for his, you know, completion percentage.
The only thing I would counter with you on that is, you know, it's a great idea to throw the ball deep, right? But they are low percentage plays, you know, by nature. So, like, you have to have some accuracy. You have to be able to connect when they're open. And actually, contrary, I think Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins threw a decent amount of deep balls. They just were inaccurate. They would constantly overthrow guys. That was their problem. Haskins, I think, is high a lot and has such a strong arm that he's got to just get it, like, he's just got to fine-tune his touch. It's
his footwork. I mean, everybody says, and I don't know anything about this. It's his footwork.
I understand.
Get his footwork down, like, you know, and then the accuracy will improve. But how many times did you see Cousins or Smith.
They check down a lot. I hear you.
Field, and then you can see their eyes move to the guy.
Well, because that's what they're, but that's what they're taught to. But that's what they're taught to do under whatever reads they're making. Now, not all the time is the coach going to say, "Well, you made the right decision," right? Sometimes they're going to say, "No, you should have thrown it here." But that's what they're schooled to do is if one is not open, two is not open, boom, you know, you read high to low in a lot of cases, right? Unless the primary design is a swing pass or a quick smoke or something like that. So just because they would normally do that, in their mind, a lot of the times what they were thinking was, hey, I don't want to throw into the tight window that I have and risk a turnover. I'd rather take something safe.
Sure. Now, one more thing, if I may. On Bruce Allen. He's unlikable, okay? He's toxic in this town. There's no chance of, you know, restoring him in any capacity. He has to go. He's not likable, and Snyder cannot keep him. I don't care what the relationship is.
I'm with you, obviously. I mean, there is no way. I don't even care if they go on this magic carpet ride, finish 4-0, the rest of the way, make the playoffs somehow, and finish 7-9, division. There is no way anyone can justify having any level of faith in Bruce Allen, period. End of story. It's been 10 years. It's been far too long. That was the number one thing Trent was absolutely right about. There's nobody with his track record and his record, period, an average of 6-10 over 10 seasons. And David, I appreciate the phone call. There's nobody that would be given that kind of rope. Nobody. Nobody. Period. Nobody. Let's get to Sal in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, Sal, how are you, pal?
Fine. How are you doing today, Chris?
Doing good, Sal. Thanks for the note the other day.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Good to get in touch with you that way. And
absolutely.
I'll make sure and follow the site there and so you let us know when you're going to be on. Keep track. I just had a question for you about Callahan. Mm-hmm. Has he ever publicly commented about Williams' situation? I don't think I've ever heard him.
Yeah, he did right around the time that Trent showed up and then the decision to put him on the NFI. But it was very like, I've got tremendous amount of respect for Trent. That's above my decision. And he's right. I mean, he's not making that decision. Trent, you know, was a great player, that type of thing. But he's never thrown Trent under the bus, number one, nor should he. And he's never also said, guys, here's the reason why we made that move. He is very, very, very conservative around media. And part of that is because he's been with Bruce Allen a lot. So they don't want to give anything that they don't have to the media.
So he's pretty much been towing the company line on on Williams.
Oh, yeah. More than. I mean, but he hasn't been disrespectful at all to Trent. It's just he hasn't said, like, he's the only public spokesman that the Redskins have on a day in, day out basis. So he hasn't explained why they did what they did.
Yeah. Just seems kind of strange that he's not publicly come out and said anything, you know, like, hey, I'm with them and so on. But I guess you wouldn't expect that. You know, I remember earlier this year, someone commented on Callahan being really hard on the offensive line and was overworking him. It might have been you or someone, but is that still the case?
I mean, look, he doesn't work individually with the offensive line anymore, but the same principles that he was working with the current offensive line coach, Phil Rauscher, is still in place. Now, I don't know if they backed off a little bit. Post-practice work, I don't always see them out there as much as I heard that they were and as much as I would, from time to time see them. So maybe they backed off a little bit, especially late in the season. Again, I'm probably not the best person to ask directly that because I can only tell you what I see and what I've heard. So somebody else might have, Craig might have a more complete picture. Here's what I know. Some of the players do not like the fact that Callahan is that Callahan is
From the old school.
Yeah, old school, hardworking, you know, grinding, kind of, you know, like tough on their bodies, that type of thing. They don't appreciate that. So I would say that's, you know, that's a problem in today's NFL. You have to find a way to get guys to be in tune, to get guys to be disciplined, but not to work them too hard that they rebel against you. That's a problem.
Yeah, well, I guess he's in a position now to find out what it's like to do that to the whole team, and I guess he'll find out.
Exactly. Thanks, Al. Appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. Good to hear from you. We'll get to Gary and Bethesda. We'll get to Chris in D.C. I'm late for the top of the hour, my bad. We will continue right along. 800-636-1067 on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.